I don't want to go down this path.
I never want you to ask the question that he just asked.
You literally have to squeeze the juice out of everything.
The client got what they wanted, but the agent didn't get what they wanted.
They completely miss the relationship part.
I wouldn't have said that.
The guy bailed. If you can get the people to give you the why, it ties them to you more.
Here's what I think is missed.
Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back again. We got some good calls today. I don't know about you, but the market is a little bit tough. You know, a lot of agents are experiencing it being very slow right now out there. And I think you got to squeeze the juice out of everything that answers that phone these days.
I agree. You know, we were talking about that. Answer rates are in the range of somewhere between 5 and 8%, depending on what kind of list you're calling. More than half of what it used to be. So yeah, you get somebody on, fish on, man. You gotta land that sucker. Or otherwise, you don't know, when you're going to get another bite.
Yep, absolutely. What do you got for us today?
You know, I got a call that kind of goes along with a little bit what I've just said. It's a little unique. The person needs a very specific area because they're trying to be near family. And I still don't feel like we did a very good job of figuring out what the best next steps were, finding a way to make this person be their client. We tried to service them, I think, that way, but just showing, look, if we don't get this house, I'm going to guarantee the next house that comes available in this neighborhood, you're going to be the first person to walk in the door kind of thing is what I would have liked to seen. But, you know, it's not awful. There's always opportunity, right?
Yep, absolutely. All right, great. Why don't you go first?
All right. Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and play this call. I think there's a lot of opportunity here, and I think you guys will know immediately what I'm talking about.
Hi, this is Can you tell me your first name again? How you say it?
I go by
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I work for you're interested in Lane, is that correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So I'm trying to pull that up right now. Is that a property that you'd like to go and take a look at?
Yes, I would like to send my wife just to check.
Okay.
Can be today or tomorrow or the weekend. For me, will be the weekend or Monday or Tuesday, because I work the next 2 days, 12 hours.
Okay. Let me pick a look here. That
I want to see it as soon as possible because it's pending already.
It is pending. So that's why I'm unable to pull it up. Let me do this. Although I can look at it over here. What I need to do first is...
what we're about to hear now is kind of where this call goes a little bit sideways. It hasn't been horrible. It hasn't been great. It's just been average, in my opinion, so far.
Yeah.
I would have liked the intro a little bit better, but the intro is a situation where it's getting passed off from a third party, so those can be a little bit awkward. But do you have any thoughts, Dale, before I play a little bit more?
I do. You said this one was passed off from a third party?
Realtor.com.
Okay. Realtor.com. Okay. And so this person inquired, realtor called him basically their ISA service talked to them similar to a Zillow or whatever.
Yep. Very similar to Zillow Flex. Same concept.
Okay. So place them with your guy. All right. Good. So the reason I'm asking everybody listening to this is presumably this individual already had the conversation with a contact, right? At realtor.com.
Correct.
Told them some information, said, I want to go see this property. So that lead's expectation is that when I get connected, you're going to book me for this appointment.
Correct.
Because if it wasn't, then I would not have booked it and I would have gone more into the discovery. But I think it's okay. He's looking up the property because this person already had an interaction. Their expectation is that I'm able to book this for them. So I'm totally fine that this is what the guy's doing, that he's looking it up and trying to get it booked. I think things are fine so far based on what he's doing. Yeah, the guy revealed that it was pending already.
Yeah, it wasn't like the agent told him. Like, no. The agent didn't say, oh, it's pending, and then cause the guy to hang up. The guy said it's pending.
Right. But if the guy's still interested in seeing it, great. I'm not going to screw that up. But let's see what happens next.
Is go ahead and find out if it's under contract, if that's the reason why it's pending, and if the sellers would entertain a backup offer. Because if they have a contract on the house and it seems pretty solid.
Okay, I don't want to go down this path, everybody.
We don't need to teach them how to bake the cake.
No. What I want is I want discovery. With every conversation I have, I'll sell you any house that you want to buy. I'll show you any house that you want to see. And I don't care whether it's available or not. I'm not going to lie to you specifically, but my purpose with every conversation is, are you a ready, willing, and able buyer or seller, and will you work with me? That's what I want to know, right? Before I do anything else, I don't care about the house. What do you think about that, Brian?
I agree. The house doesn't matter. And this is an actual script I use. I don't know if in hindsight I would use it again, but I use this as a buyer's agent. I don't care what house you buy. I would literally use those exact words. Dale, I don't care what house you buy. You know why? Because I don't own any of them. The only thing that I care about is when you buy that house that it's a good experience for you and you're happy. Does that sound like a good plan? And I did that because I didn't want people think I had any influence over which house they buy. Because when I say I don't care, I literally don't care.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think that's important to include. In fact, my wife was just reading me a new review that she got from a client that was glowing about working with her. And in there, the client said, you know, Carmel is her name, didn't push us to buy a house, but always pushed for us to get the house we wanted. Right.
That's a great review.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want. You want somebody who's pushing on your behalf, not someone who's pushing on you. Right.
Right. Exactly.
All right. Let's play a little bit more.
Then my recommendation is we're going to probably want to look somewhere else. And see what else.
So I wouldn't have said that. Let me talk about what I would do in this scenario. And I'm not saying I even do it on this call, but I have a very simple philosophy about writing backup offers that I've not heard a lot of people talk about. So I think it's a good time to start talking about that, because I think, and this is a positive thing, so I hope I'm not wrong. I'm wrong a lot, but I hope I'm not wrong. I think that the market is actually getting better as we see the interest rates start dropping. And I think we're going to start seeing multiple offers yet, because I think the inventory is not going to catch up with the number of buyers who are going to hit the market. That's my belief. That's what's going to happen in the fourth quarter. And assuming that's true, then you're going to have to deal with multiple offer situations. You're going to have to deal with property that your client wants to go see that's already under contract, like this one. And when you do that, you say this, in my opinion. Look, this property is already under contract. When we submit the offer, because obviously you're interested in this property or you wouldn't be so focused on it. I know it. And you'll learn again coming up that it's his family lives in the area, blah, blah, blah. What we need to do is write the absolute strongest offer we possibly can, so that way when the buyer balks at all, the seller will be thrilled to terminate. You know, if your offer is less than the one that you're dealing with, they're going, well, we've already made it this far with this guy. Or if it's about the same, we've already made it this far with this guy. If my offer gets you $20,000 more, the seller's jumping through their hoops to cancel that contract if they can.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So what's that mean? The seller gets to inspection and the buyer requests all these repairs and the seller goes, nope, we're not doing anything. What do you mean you're not doing anything? Go ahead and terminate. So how to give them a reason to terminate, in my mind.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think that's an excellent strategy. It also gets your people into the process of writing offers.
Mm-hmm.
The only place that it can bite you in the ass is if they wrote that backup offer on this house and now they're sitting around waiting to see if the other deal falls out and don't want to write on a new one.
Fair enough.
That's the only place I could see that coming back around to mess with you.
Yeah, I agree. And because this guy is so specific, I'm not worried about it in this scenario. And by the way, each state is going to be a little bit different. But in the state of Arkansas, I know when their inspections due. Why? Because I can look today, it went pending, and every single contract, the way it's written, is 10 business days. So basically, I've got 2 weeks from whenever this property goes pending to get the inspection in. So we'll know within 2 weeks where we're at. And that's cool. I'm with you, though. Let's go look at other houses. And my script would look something like this. If someone, well, I just want to wait. No, you don't. We don't know if we're going to get this house. So we need to line up all these others in case for some reason this doesn't work out.
Yeah. I mean, in your career of selling houses, how many times has a deal fallen out and then your buyer's got it, right?
A lot less than I would have liked. And again, a big portion of that is that we didn't use the script that I just gave you.
My point is, you get them to write the offer. And then if they start digging in their heels, you're like, listen, the likelihood that that's going to fall out is about X percent, right?
It's, you're looking at maybe 10 to 15% realistically.
Yeah, right.
So now, you know, I actually do think it might actually get higher by writing a strong offer. And I'm not trying to screw that buyer. I don't know that buyer. I don't have anything against that buyer who's, you know.
Well, they're not your buyer.
But
so
they're not
cares?
Mine. So my job is to do the best for my buyer.
Your job is to get your buyer the deal, not somebody else's buyer the deal. That's how I look at it.
All right, let's go.
So I can help find you that's in that price range. Are you trying to stay within that pricing of like like the 230.
Okay, so I never want you to ask the question that he just asked. It presupposes something that may or may not be true, and you're not getting accurate information. Stop influencing our people. So, you know, you inquired on a $250,000 house, so your price range is around $250,000? Maybe. Maybe that's the top of their price range. Maybe it's the bottom of their price range. Maybe they just thought the house was cool. Don't stick somebody in a box. You know, that's not doing discovery. That's being assumptive.
Right.
Range.
Mm. Well, the problem was where I live right now, it was a house for sale next to my house. So I tried to apply for that, but somebody else got the house before me.
Okay.
So now this one that I have, it's next to my parents' house, and it's next to two lots that I own.
Oh, okay.
So why I wanna put some offer on that one.
Okay. So you're specifically very interested in this property.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. Pending already.
It is Tendu that's in that price.
We knew that he was already specifically interested in this property. Don't reinforce it. Mm-hmm. Find out, because I don't know where his parents live, but a house came available next to him and a house came available next to his parents. That means, in my mind, he's willing to buy a house in either of those subdivisions. He's not just interested in this house. He's interested in a house that somehow falls into one of those two subdivisions is what I hear. Why would we tell him otherwise, which is what we just did? Oh, so you're just specifically interested in this house.
I think your salesperson here is thinking, and he's kind of doing the math out loud.
Yes.
And there's sometimes you don't want to do the math out loud.
Don't be a verbal processor with your client.
Yeah. Some thoughts we keep on the inside. This is one of them.
That's funny. I sometimes say to my wife, that was out loud. So
that's funny.
Okay.
So now this one that I have is next to my parents' house, and it's next to two lots that I own.
Oh, okay.
So why I wanna put some offer on that one.
Okay. So you're specifically very interested in this property.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Let me go ahead and reach out and see what I can find out. Let me make sure that I have your contact information so that I can get back to you. Let's see here. Should be. Yeah, let me open this up here real quick.
Gist of this, here's what I think is missed. We literally missed the opportunity to do discovery.
Yeah.
We don't know what his criteria is. We don't know his price point. We don't know which...
Or his purpose.
I don't know where his current house is, so I don't know what that other subdivision is. Like, there's so many things that we missed here. Feels like a decent call, right? Great rapport between the client and they know what each other want. They communicated well, but the client got what they wanted, but the agent didn't get what they want, in my opinion.
Yeah. And a glaring thing is like, why is this guy buying the place? And what does he want to do with it? Because he already owns a home, right? He owns a couple of lots. He was also going to buy the property that came up next to him. For what reason? Now he wants to buy one next to his parents' house. For what reason? If you can get the people to give you the why, it ties them to you more. And we're totally missing that.
Absolutely.
Honestly, you know, Brian, when I listen to a lot of salespeople, the less experienced salespeople get focused on selling people something, selling them a house or listing their house to sell.
Okay.
And they completely miss the relationship part. They completely miss the I'm your partner in this kind of perspective. And it's one of those things that sets an experienced or more expert salesperson apart from a beginner. And if you can teach that to them to learn it and recognize it faster, they ramp their results faster.
I agree. And by the way, what Dale just said to me is the thing that's going to keep the agents in business who are going to stay in business. And that is, our job has always been to build relationships in my mind, but it's become a significantly higher percentage of our job than it used to be. Like, nobody needs me to find them a house anymore. We talked about this on our team meeting this morning. If someone's searching between in one city between $300,000 and $400,000, they know the inventory better than you do. And you better know and accept. I mean, they do. They get on Zillow for 2 hours a day and look at one city and one price point. You've got 10 clients, hopefully, and you're all over. There's no way that you can know the inventory as well as them. They are literally studying the inventory daily. How do I know? I watch people do it. Like, you know, family members and friends who are looking to buy a house. They live on Zillow. They live on Realtor.com. They live on somebody's website. So that is not our job. Our job is not to say, hey, there's a house for sale. They know. Our job is to say, hey, I'm here for you to help hold your hand through this process, to educate you, to coach you to do that. Bring some value. Be a leader based on relationships.
All right. I'm going to play mine.
Oh, yeah, hey. Hey, this is, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm okay.
Yeah, glad to hear that. I can say the same. Listen, this is just a customer service call. You were looking at a property on one of our property websites, I think yesterday.
Okay, now, this is definitely not our scripting. However, you can tell this guy is in the good old South, right?
He does not feel like he's from New Jersey.
He is not from New Jersey or Wisconsin or California for that matter. So what do you think, Brian? You know, slow roll. Is it appropriate? You're in Arkansas. You're halfway in the South.
I hate the term appropriate. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with what he did. I still wouldn't do it. Like, I appreciate, hey, good old boy. And, you know, I learned to say y'all when I lived in Arkansas. I mean, you do that.
You assimilated?
Well, you got to. If you don't, you're going to end up unemployed, or at least you're not going to sell real estate. I mean, you know, you got to be like the other people. I took a class one time. It's one of the greatest things I ever learned is every new relationship, at least one person is going to be uncomfortable. You should volunteer to be uncomfortable. You should be the person who's, you know, changing. You should be the person who's adapting. You don't want to make the client do that. I'm like, this sucks. It's uncomfortable. That's your
right job. Okay, so we're gonna let this one pass. We'll let the good old boy and intro pass.
Okay. Sometime, and I just wondered if you had any questions about it.
So I'm going through a kind of a crappy divorce right now.
Oh man, and
she's destroyed my credit. I have a civil suit charging, but I mean, it went from $650 to like $515. So
man,
I'm on the struggle bus right now. I mean, I'm just trying to find a place to rent before I can buy, just because the apartment I live in is too small, but because of my credit, I can't find anything. So
you're going to have to rent from an individual.
Do what?
What I had to do, I wasn't in a divorce, but I was in bankruptcy and foreclosure and everything, and my credit was in the crapper, well below 500. Yeah. We actually had to go rent from
So here's the issue that I have with it is that he accepts the guy's story, right? That his credit sucks and that he can only rent. Listen, why would I accept that story? Let me get the facts of the case here. Who did you talk to that said you could only rent, right? How do you know that? Have you gone through the process of making sure you can only rent? I wouldn't ask these questions that way. It's what I'm thinking in my mind, right? I want to help this guy. This is what I'm talking about these days with fewer transactions happening. You literally have to squeeze the juice out of everything. So figure out whether or not he can and where he got his info from.
100%. You're like, hey, have you pulled your credit? Has a lender pulled your credit? You know, and honestly, in a situation like this, you can send somebody to something as simple as like Equifax or freecreditreport.com. Because if you got a 500 credit score on that, your mortgage credit score is worse. But, yeah, you know, you can find those things out. But here's the other thing I would want to figure out is, okay, sounds like your life sucks. I can appreciate that. Do you have a plan to fix it?
Yeah.
That's where I want to go. Okay.
That's a great question. I still want to introduce this guy with my mortgage person.
Do you have a plan to fix it? No, let me introduce you to my mortgage person.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're doing the right thing out there, your mortgage lender is probably contributing to your leads. So please send everybody to them to have a conversation.
Yes.
Individual.
That's what I'm trying to find because it's hard to find that in this area because the military, so many people have services because they're gone.
Yeah. Have you tried Craigslist or anything like that?
I only got scammed once on Craigslist, so I'm doing good.
Okay. Well, yeah, are you going to sell your other house?
Well, I definitely...
There we go. At least he's trying to find something. He goes, are you going to sell your other house?
All right. There's all right. Yeah.
We're back in the... He came off the ropes with a, are you going to sell your other house?
I'm doing good.
Okay. Well, are you going to sell your other house?
Well, I definitely want to buy a house. I'm just at this point, my credit's not going to allow it. But I'm a retired 05 from the military. I make like $10,000 a month since my credit's shot because she opened up all the shit in my name. And I'm a chef at night. That's what I'm doing right now.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, thanks for taking my call, man. I really appreciate it. So many people don't answer. I hope everything works out for you. I really do.
Yeah, brother. I mean, keep my number, and maybe in 6 months you're still doing it. Give me a haul, and hopefully I'm
The guy's begging him to help. He's saying, please help me. And the guy's like, I gotta go.
Right. It's crazy, man. This is a hard bail. So, you know, if you're listening to this, stay in there, squeeze all the juice out of it. The things that Brian and I just said, really just fact check this guy. Make sure he really did what he needed to do, or that he has exhausted every option for himself. Don't just believe what these people tell you.
You know, Dale and I both, I said it differently, but we both said basically get him with your lender. Because here's the thing. Most people don't know how to fix their credit. Like, it's not like a skill that they're teaching in high school. Like, this is not, you know, this guy's educated, by the way. He just told us at the end that he's a retired lieutenant colonel. So you have an education. He's a smart guy, or at least somewhat smart. Hey, by the way, do you have a plan to fix your credit? No.
And he's got the VA loan zero down. He's got plenty of money, right? Like,
and VA is very, very, very forgiving. Like, you can get, with a foreclosure even, you can get a VA loan within a couple of years. Credit scores, like, credit scores are garbage. I'll tell you this, me personally, I didn't want to sell my house before I moved into another one. I'm a veteran. And so I used a VA loan at almost 60% debt to income ratio.
Wow.
To buy my a house that I bought. Then I sold my house and my debt to income ratio was fine, but that was not a requirement of the loan. So yeah, VA, it's very, very, very forgiving.
So Brian, like, the guy bailed. You know, like, this is one where if I was training this salesperson, I'd say, call that guy back again and run it all the way down, like, chase it all the way down to where this, you guys have checked into every avenue, every possibility, and nothing will work because you have the evidence to say it won't. And then we'll make a plan, like you said, Brian.
I'm going to go back to something you said at the very beginning of the call. Every single person that you have on the phone is gold today. And let's say this guy can never buy a house again. That doesn't mean he still doesn't have friends. Doesn't mean he still doesn't have family. I mean, there's still opportunity. And again, is that the best opportunity, trying to get a referral from someone who's not even your client? No. But hey, if I do it twice a year, does that make me an extra $15,000-$20,000? Yeah.
Doesn't hurt to ask. One of our clients who bought and sold several million dollars worth of real estate over the course of a couple of years, Brian, came as a cold referral from a for sale by owner who refused to meet with me simply because I asked him, right? Chased him around, wouldn't meet with me. And I said, all right, well, do you know anybody else who's looking to get their home sold? Oh, well, my friend at work is thinking about putting her home up. I can connect you with her.
And you know why that, you know why that works? For a lot of reasons, but you know, one of the reasons it works, now he believes that you won't call him again.
Right.
Seriously. He's like, go over that way. He'll leave me the hell alone.
Yep. I harassed him enough that he was like, I need a diversion. You got to go over there.
Yeah. Call Susie. She'll talk to you. And right. In this case, she did.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis. We'll be back next week. Hey, if you're really enjoying this information and you want some more help for you specifically, two things you can do. Click the links below. You can either submit one of your calls and we can play them here and give you feedback, free coaching from two veteran sales trainers. Or also, I have a couple of options below where you can get in and get some free training from us and get introduced to our community of other agents and team leaders who are crushing it these days in real estate sales and improving their ability to convert leads, book more appointments, and close more deals.